Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Is the season on the line this weekend for the Guardians?
And a nitty-gritty football breakdown. We go from defensive line to special teams, and where did the rugby-style punting come from?
And whether or not Kevin Stefanski should have to long snap at some point. It's the emerging podcast scene presented by Extend Technologies on 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app.
The first 4 hours were simply an amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
I'm good.
Your table is now ready for Carmen and Lima's emerging podcast scene.
We're brought to you by Extend Technologies, XTENDAV.com. Hello.
This is what it's all about, Kenny. It's football week. We got a game tonight. No nonsense. Let's get right to it. It's a big one.
What's a big one?
The game tonight. It's football. It's NFL football. It starts tonight. It'll be two teams, battle it out. Do we have a halftime show or a pregame show? Is there an artist?
Yeah, there will be people not only doing pregame, but a halftime
as
well.
No, but don't they have a big...
You mean like Creed flying from the rafters?
Yes.
Let's see. I'm Googling...
Is it Lady Gaga? No, she strained her voice. She couldn't do her last show.
She strained her voice?
Yeah, she had to cancel 5 minutes before her show.
Oh, no.
You imagine the little monsters, how they were feeling about that?
People can't see us now, so people probably think I'm being sarcastic. I'm not being sarcastic. That would be terrible.
According to my AI overview, there is no Thursday night football game scheduled for Thursday night, which means there is no halftime show.
If you guys go to a...
It is technically a Sunday night football game.
We got to do the ChatGPT prediction tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, that's
what,
right.
What Mitch found. If you
this
guys...
from NBC says, if you stick around for halftime, you'll get analysis from Maria Taylor and experts like Devin McCourty, Chris Sims, and Jason Garrett.
Calling Chris Sims an expert, stretching a little.
He's an expert. Plus, you'll get insider journalist Mike Florio.
When you go to a show... Do you care if it's lip-synced?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah.
Why?
It's just such a difference. I don't know.
But you still get to see her.
What musicians...
Yeah, but I could just listen to that in my car.
Yeah, it's a killer. It's honestly an absolute killer. Yeah, this also says there was no concert. But I think I'm reading exactly what you said. It's just not the same. Like, I told you I saw Tate McRae this week. If you paid all that
she
money...
She sang her own songs?
Yeah, and you could tell. You could tell when someone's lip-syncing. Because she would also... There'd be no delineation. Sometimes there is... Depending on the type of music they do, and that's the unfortunate part with a lot of poppy music that hinges on a lot of studio production, is that you will hear and think they're harmonizing, and then you can hear... a direct distinction to when they say, "Hey, Cleveland, what's up?" And you could still hear them in the background.
Yes. Like, oh, well, so it's not technically lip syncing. It is a backing track, which is also just their voice. And sometimes they will sing over that. You see that a lot.
That's true.
On TV shows as well. Like, it's their voice. And then they'll stop singing, and you're like, no, it still sounds like you singing. When they do say that, is everybody having a good time? Right, and the song's still going on in the background. It's not the greatest.
I'm surprised you guys have that feeling, because it's like
when I saw Creed live, no lip syncing.
Because I've started to, I tell you, I speak a lot all day, especially during football season. I'm getting loud in the afternoon, And so it tends to blow my voice out. And I've had to like really curtail myself and be like, hey man, like you got a Browns broadcast to do. Like you got a show to do. Like there's a lot of things you still have to do on the air. You better cool it. And I thought about singers before and I go, well, they must just have lip syncing. And it didn't bother me for a second to think that. Not a second, Tone. So like if I went and saw Lady Gaga and lady's like, oh my God, Lady Gaga was like, I can't go tonight. I don't think I'd have a problem with it if I was there already and they decided to lip sync the thing. That's that bad.
I guess it depends on how you feel about your performer that you're going to see and whether they're a good singer or not.
Well,
like there are times when, you know,
she does pride herself on her singing.
If you're going to see Frankie Valli, God bless him, at age 90 or whatever he is.
Late December, night back in 63.
Yeah, you're probably not going to get real vocals, but maybe you just want to see him.
I think so.
Yeah.
Have you seen Frankie Valli lately? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Is it not very good?
Somebody said
he's like being
it's an
forced
embarrassment.
Out there.
Yeah, you wonder if he owes money. Because he's out there and he's not even mumbling the words.
What, you think
along
you're
a
Frankie Valli or something?
It's
some kind of big shot?
It's kind of sad.
That you're 93 and they're still making you go out there because you owe money? Maybe Henry Hill could have gave him some money. I'm sorry. Anyway, Guardians, is their season on the line tonight? Starting today's Thursday, it's a weekend series, four-game series against Tampa Bay in Tampa Bay, right? In Tampa Bay.
Correct.
Well, which is at the...
In St. Pete?
Yeah, it's in the minor league stadium.
Yeah.
Is their season on the line? Is this a season... Is this a John Feinstein, RIP, season on the brink, Tone?
Well, probably not going to go there because... There still are enough games, not as few as I thought there were when I listened to you yesterday. But, you know, they're three games back. You can't fall to five, right? If they fall to five games back, that's...
Yeah. So the problem, the blessing and the curse right now is Seattle's still the one in the driver's seat, right? We're done with Seattle. Tampa is a half game ahead of us, but we have a chance to knock them out. Kansas City is a half game ahead of us. Guess who we play after Tampa?
Kansas City.
Yeah. So we've got four with Tampa. Then we'll have 20 games left. Then we'll have three with Kansas City. Then we'll have 17 games left. This is how math works.
Yes.
And then we go White Sox. We should win all those, right? Then we've got Tigers. We've got six left with the Tigers. Okay, a 3-3. Jeez. You got a Twins in there. You should win all those. And then you end up with the Rangers, who are the other wild card team.
But they swept you, didn't they?
The Rangers?
I thought they got two or three at least. I thought they swept us.
They swept us and we didn't score any runs.
Yeah.
But that was then. This is now.
This is now. That was then. This is now. Still alive. But so the season is not on the... Well, if they lose all four, season's over. So the season's not on the brink, but it's also on the brink.
Well, so if they lose all four and Seattle also loses... Then technically they are now 4.5 back of Tampa because they're only a half game back right now.
With 20
and I would assume that Tampa jumps up, but they need Seattle to be losing as well and Kansas City to be losing and Texas to be losing.
So I'm not quite ready to call this an elimination game tonight, but we are getting close. So
must win Gardos.
The fact that I woke up today and I'm like, we're only three back. Even though we've struggled the last 2 weeks?
Yeah.
The problem with it right now is you could win seven games this week,
and
right?
And
still be three back if everyone, you know, if Seattle wins seven games.
Yeah, you need a lot of help. You're relying on a lot of teams.
It's
and
a
you
lot
gotta
of factors.
Play
That's why the division is always the safer bet, right? Because it's usually a one-team chase.
I haven't even looked at the division.
I think they're 10 or 11. They're 11, yeah. I think.
I haven't even looked at the division.
No,
lately.
10.
But yeah, Detroit has been a lot more beatable this second half of the year.
Right. And then you've got six with them, but you still don't have you still are at the point now where you need outside factors to help you with the Tigers as well. So you no longer control your own destiny, which makes it easier to say season on the brink.
Ask me the question you were going to ask me on the air about the defensive line.
So I have heard a bunch of people say this defensive line that we all think is going to be really good this year. I've heard some people in town say this is the deepest defensive line we've had during this run.
Yeah.
And that was a little curious to me because people loved the defensive line going into last season. I always try to remember what we were saying about these teams before week one, not what we thought about the team at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. That's easy. If you go 3-14, you're going to be down on just about everything. But at the beginning of the year, where were the hope and optimism, where was that rooted? Well, defensive line, we knew that every year, whether it was going to be, you know, Jadeveon Clowney or Za'Darius Smith, you know, it felt like every year we were going to be excited about that situation. And last year, going into the season, you had LaDainian Tomlinson. You had Dalvin Tomlinson. You had Za'Darius Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And that right there was reason to think that our defensive line was really good. You had Okoronkwo, who was a big free agency signing a couple of years ago, right?
Yeah.
In fact, he might have been their first signing that year.
Two years prior.
Okoronkwo, yeah.
Yeah. And I remember Shelby Harris, Maurice Hurst, who we were excited about.
Yep.
And
her shifters.
Then you had Mike Hall, which is going to be available, just not this
week. Mike is in the hall.
Well, this season, a lot of the guys that were backups are like getting more time, and you lost how many of those guys? And we were even excited about Shelby Harris last year.
A lot
year.
Of them.
So, and he's there, but I don't know. It just seems like he's not
so
even
you,
really in the
you
rotation.
Take umbrage with deeper.
So how are we deeper than last year
we
when we're down
Nathan,
four guys?
We will have Nathan tomorrow. You can ask him that question.
Now, Mason Graham,
but
I'm excited about, so that could be a big part of it.
I think we're taking in the Mason Graham thing.
Okay.
And then if you're adding in, guys, I'm sorry I'm off mic. I gotta get my depth chart out here.
On the mic.
Oh, I left my colorful depth chart in the front.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll retrieve
it, I got a full
too.
Color printout, thanks to
welcome.
Ken and the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, and you'll not going to pay attention to it.
No, that's going home with me.
Sure.
See you later.
So you're betting that Mason Graham makes up for it and Aiden Hutchinson makes up for it. Huntington.
I know. You got to get out of it now. Get out of it now. Get out of your system. Huntington.
You got to hope that Mason Graham and Aiden Huntington make up for it, is what you're hoping for. Shelby Harris is a decent hand. Malik Collins is a good hand. A decent hand, I should say. And then when you get to Alex Wright and Isaiah McGuire, I think what Nathan is seeing, and I'm just going to put words into Nathan's mouth now, and then he can explain himself tomorrow on The Fan, is that I think he's seen that Alex Wright looks a lot better than he did last year, even before the injury. Isaiah McGuire is progressing nicely. Isaiah McGuire can have a nice, 8-9 year career in the league, it seems here. And also Mason Graham and Aiden Huntington have been fantastic for you in the preseason. So I think he's taking those four guys and maybe is going a little bit for, but you're betting on inexperience here. You have two rookies and two younger guys. You know, you mentioned, who did you mention last year? I mean, Za'Darius Smith's been around for a long time.
Yeah. And Tomlinson.
By the way, former fourth round guy, if I'm not mistaken, about Za'Darius That's Smith. Right. Za'Darius Smith been around a long time. Dalvin Tomlinson was around for a long time. Who did they sign and then cut? Quentin, and I loved the signing, and he ended up being nothing. It was embarrassing. They got the guy from the Jets, and it was it did not go their way at all. And I think he just didn't want to be here. So I think that's what he's doing. Did you want a better answer from me then?
Not a better answer.
If I've let you down, please.
I just want to make sure we're being... it's fine to have optimism every year or whatever at every position. Like the way people are already talking about linebacker, right? JOK was, I mean, we were thinking borderline all pro. And now he's out. We have a rookie in who everybody's excited about. And we're like, I literally heard someone say yesterday they think we're better at linebacker than last year. And I'm like, well, wait a second. Are we just, whatever's new means automatically improved? Like, that's it?
I don't know if we're... Well,
it kind of makes you think, like, you really didn't think JOK was that good.
Carson Schlesinger is going to have to prove it before I say he's better than JOK. Mahmoud Diabate is... he's a fine player, but you were expecting Jordan Hicks to start.
Yeah.
Devin Bush is Devin Bush. There's no doubt about it. So whoever said that the linebacker room is better, I push back on that. I might change my opinion after the first month of the season.
Sure. And
to maybe the linebackers could be better.
Rookies come in the NFL and play well
You're still in replacement mode here because Mahmoud Diabate is a player for you that is, I think, progressing nicely. And then Carson Schlesinger, all I hear is great things about him.
Mm-hmm.
Devin Bush is not out of the woods by any means. A terrible shrubbery pun in a way.
Oh, I like that.
Devin Bush isn't out of the woods by any means. I still think you're in replacement mode with him. The secondary.
Well, secondary because Emerson is out, and we were hoping for the big bounce
so
back.
So you put more on Greg Newsome, and Greg Newsome's in a contract year. Grant Delpit, I think, is good. Ronnie Hickman, I have my concerns. He's a try-hard guy. Denzel Ward's obviously one of the best in the business. With the backups, Cam Mitchell took a step back. DeMonte Casey.
I got to be honest, I am worried this week if they are able to scheme away.
Quentin Jefferson was the name. Thank you very much, Derek, on my phone. Thank you.
I forgot about him.
Thank you, Quentin Jefferson.
If they are able to somehow, like some of the better offensive coordinators have schemed against Jim Schwartz, and we found that he doesn't really like to make a ton of adjustments. That's part of their identity. Like, we are who we are. We think our line is going to win out in the end and take care of everything else. But, I remember the Rams game from a few years ago around the holidays, because we were at a kid's party and it was very distracting.
Nice.
But I remember he just schemed like it was all misdirection and it was all Myles Garrett chasing everybody from behind. Mm-hmm. And it's like, all right, they took Myles Garrett out of the game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
There have been teams that are able to do that.
Yeah,
Cincinnati's not been one of them. Is this going to be finally the year they are able to scheme him away and, you know, have time to throw? Because if he has any time to throw at all, Burrow...
Well, that's what you're hoping Mason Graham's going to help out
sure.
with. Sure. And then that's what you're hoping Alex Wright's going to be able to help out with. Because you're going to have natural pressure. I don't know how much, and this is going to be, I'm a little bit more conservative when it comes to defense, too. I'm not necessarily risk adverse, but I don't like to gamble so crazily the way like Greg Williams would gamble with some of the blitzes. So, I like to apply pressure, but you have to prove that I have to apply pressure. So, like, I'll give up a couple underneath until I have to figure out that I'm going to have to send somebody the entire game or we're going to be in trouble here. I like to play head up. I used to think that you had the horses that could go man. I'm not sure you have the horses that can go man. At least I know there's one guy who can, but the other ones I'm not sure. But that means that your front four is going to have to get home and meet at the football. And so, you know, Mason Graham's going to have to learn a lot in a short amount of time and blossom in a short amount of time. You know, Alex Wright has to come to fruition, and obviously Miles Garrett is the best in the business of what he does. But if you can still find yourself in a mode if Mason Graham ends up not being what we hope he is and Alex Wright ends up, you know, getting hurt again or not being what we hope he is, that they circle 95 and 95 ain't going to get to you and then nobody else is going to get to you. Like, that's the problem. Like, that's where, like, if you watch LT back in the day, a guy named Leonard Marshall would come up with sacks because they're so focused on 56. If you watch Derek Thomas, one of his best running mates was Neil Smith.
Neil Smith was good.
Because Neil Smith was a good player in his own right, and you're made better with a Derek Thomas.
John Elway was running from those guys for a decade.
Now we're in Dan Salamua territory. Come on.
I mean, I'm talking to the expert
Dan
over there.
Salamua. I'm talking who's next.
I'm talking to the expert here.
You know who's next.
But I think that
his nephew
Miles makes situations better, hopefully, for Alex Wright or for Mason Graham in that sense. Or they can make it a little bit easier on him because you find yourself in a spot where you can't double them all. You know, like I remember one of the first games, like it's this simple when you watch even the youth and you do the youth stuff, and I know you're gonna roll your eyes, but they go, "We're getting double teamed. I'm getting double teamed. I go, "They can't double team all you guys. So some of you are going to have to do your job because there's no way you're all getting double teamed.
Right.
You think you are because we're getting our asses handed to us, but you're not getting double teamed. And I think at times there's been, yeah, definitely Miles has felt like he's being double teamed, because he is. And then maybe the other ones are. But that, you know, Miles has played, he's been here for so long. He's played in some really good defenses 2 years ago, the year before that as well. And then he's played for some bad defenses. I remember when Kevin Kugler was talking to us, I go, man, this sounds a lot like, and I know Trey Hendrickson's older, but I'm like, this sounds a lot like Miles in the first few years where we'd be talking about how good Miles is, and people would be going, why is the defense still bad? Why is it? Shouldn't he make the defense better? It's like, guys, it's one guy. And if 21's not available to you, because there was a lot of times where he was injured, then you're still, even if you're at your best, it's 2 of 11. And those two are really good, but if you're devoid of talent with the other guys, they're going to find the holes. In the NFL, they find the holes. And it's how much pressure you can apply, and then it does take a minute to fill those holes. And then you're dealing with a salary cap to help fill those holes or create new holes because guys leave, because other ones want to fill there. So you're always – it's never set. You're always moving pieces. And I think right now, again, you are – we're not set at linebacker. I think we're as set as we're going to be at defensive tackle and defensive end. The secondary is in a tremendous state of flux. A tremendous state of flux.
And cannot afford another injury.
And really cannot afford another injury. Wide receiver, clearly there's movement. Offensive line, I wish Joel Bitonio, and I hate to say it because I love Wyatt. I like Joel too, obviously. But, you know, this could be the end for them. The end of their line. Jack Conklin, I got to look at his contract.
We haven't talked about Conklin
I got to look at his
all.
Contract. Well, there's... I don't get me wrong. I respected the guy. I found a new line of respect. And you know what? We haven't spoken about this at all this week. We're betting a lot on DeJuan Jones being able to fill the bill over at the left tackle spot, because if he is, he's going to make Jed Wills look worse.
By the way, people, I've heard some people say that they didn't like what they saw out of DeJuan Jones in a preseason. Did you have any problems?
Who said that?
Just some people. Bray, I'll tell you off the air. But
I thought he was fair. Okay. I didn't think he was bad. But he only got a couple of opportunities. It wasn't like he played a whole bunch.
Okay. Yeah. And yeah, there wasn't a whole lot.
I mean, as a basketball player, his feet should be better than a guy who just... Wrestlers, basketball players, I think guys who do sports in the wintertime, I think their feet are naturally better than guys who just played football. So as a basketball player, he should be able to pick it up even more. But, you know, now you're going to be going against top athletes. I mean, defensive ends, pass rushers, OLBs. I mean, these guys are edge... They're athletic freaks, and they have track speed with a huge frame, and he's got to be able to get him around and clear that pocket, get Joe to be able to step up and feel comfortable in that pocket, or be able to escape if it's more Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders, but really being able to escape. Joe's still got some wheels, but he's 40 years old. So, I mean, that's my breakdown of it. You're always in replacement mode. But there's just years where you don't have to replace as much, and those are called playoff teams. So that's what the Browns deal with right now. Cincinnati, on the other hand, I think that they're in a really unique position. And let me get you this real quick.
If Cincinnati loses to the Browns this week, is that the beginning of the end of the Burrow and Jamar Chase, T. Higgins window in Cincinnati?
No. I mean, it's 1 week.
I know. I'm just saying the beginning of the end, meaning – they put all their effort in. Am I wrong on any of this? They have put all their effort in to getting off to a hot start. And if they can't beat the Browns, who Vegas has is one of the worst teams in football, 40-year-old quarterback, the running back room, very much up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got Jerry Jeudy, and I'm excited to see Jerry Jeudy. I really am. Because he put together a sensational year last year, and he can build on it. It's not like he's past his prime. He can continue to get better. But that's it right now on paper. That's it. Like, that's if you're comparing the wide receivers around the league, especially what you're going up against Cincinnati this week, like, damn, like that could be a mismatch. If you beat them,
mm-hmm.
Holy cow, you imagine what the conversation is going to be. Like, that'll be a national conversation about, well, does Burrow need to force his way out? Does Burrow need to force the coach out? Does Zach Taylor even make it to week 7? Like, that stuff is going to be a conversation this week.
Well, if I look at them, And they're
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Offensive line, they're interesting. Where a lot of their, I mean, this whole team, the whole wasting Joe Burrow's time. I said, you know, no, because you signed his wide receivers, but at the same time, his wide receivers are great. He's great. I know he's great. Trey Hendrickson is great. Boy, there's holes all over this football team.
And they've had years to fix them.
Dax Hill ain't anybody's gift to God. Cam Taylor-Britt is not anybody's gift. Jordan Battle's shown some nice play, but he's still, you know, a lot of whatever. You got Demetrius Knight, who's a rookie. A lot of people can be excited about him all they want. Shamar Stewart, who's behind Joseph Asai, which eventually they want him to start. He's a first-round pick, but, you know, he's a guy, again, who won every drill but doesn't show a whole lot at Texas A&M. And then the wide receiver room is solid. Tight ends, solid. Drew Sample, Mike Gesicki, Noah Fant. Noah Fant's been a hell of a hand for a long time in this league. With the offensive tackles, Amarius Mims, I like Amarius Mims. Some people don't. I do. Orlando Brown Jr., I think, again, hell of a hand for a long time. But then you go in the middle with the guards. They just signed Dalton Reisner. So that tells you where they feel on their guard situation, either because of injury or because of talent. Ted Karras has been nice. Dylan Fairchild is a rookie, so they're in replacement mode then. It's weird. Okay, I'm doing a game preview. I probably should have done this on the regular radio, but we can do this again tomorrow. Wide receiver room, they're better. Offensive line, we're better. Tight ends, sorry, they're better because they're deeper.
Well, who are the tight ends?
Again, Drew Sample, Mike Gesicki, Noah Fant. QB, they have the advantage. Running backs.
What do you think of, by the way, Harold Fanning going to 44? We didn't address that today.
Tom Rathman is what Football Sickness on Twitter said.
Is that more of an H-back number?
Yes.
I mean, yeah, he could be lined up in a wing and you wouldn't think anything about it.
And he has been lined up at H-back at times.
So, running back, I'll give to them. Running back, I'll give to them. Am I missing anything? I said offensive line is for us. D-line, I think us. B.J. Hill's good. I give us.
Yeah.
Linebackers, I'm going to say push.
Okay.
Logan Wilson can be pretty good. And they play a lot of nickel, so they only have two.
Yeah.
I'm going to say push. Secondary, I do not like their secondary very much.
No.
And we're the team that has Denzel. I'm going to say Denzel.
Who was
I'm
the guy? Yeah, who was the guy they had that just would get? He was the official getting torched guy every single year. Former Buckeye too, wasn't it? They have a former Buckeye that was in that secondary. Hey,
Joey.
Eli Apple.
Yeah, it was Eli Apple. Good call. It was every game against every team.
Yeah.
Guy, poor Eli Apple was just getting picked on.
Special teams, I don't know much about the punter other than, you know, we have Corey Bohorquez, and I know about him, and I know Evan McPherson has kind of bobbled around a little bit.
Is there punter an end-over-end guy? What is he?
I have no idea. But Andre Schmidt, I don't know much about him, so I guess I'll go with the name I know and Evan McPherson.
What's your favorite type of punt, Ken? Is it a?
It's the rugby style. I saw one.
Oh, it's everywhere. The Mid-American Conference should just be called rugby style punting conference.
I saw one in high school Friday, and I loved it, where a guy just lined up and punted it right at the gunner.
I would love to hear from a special teams coach.
He wanted to get it crossed up with the guys who were blocking the gunners.
And actually, you're a nitty gritty football coach on a youth level, so maybe you can be the guy to explain it to me.
Hell yeah!
Tell me what the vulnerabilities are for. Like, their strengths and weaknesses to every punting setup. The rugby style thing seems awesome when you're watching it, from at a high school or college level, because you're like, oh, they're going to be able to get
the
out of
there. The ball's in the backfield longer. That's why.
But aren't you out of harm's way from where you think the rush is coming?
Yeah, until you get in harm's way, and then the ball, the quicker you can get rid of the ball, the better. That's all there is to it. They're all, because, you know, guys on punt got to focus on blocking, then they have to focus on tackling. There's a lot they got to do. And you're only going to be able to hold up a block so long because you got to get your ass down there and punt. So you're hoping the guy gets rid of it. And you're doing all this runaround stuff in the backfield. It's just, to me, it's longer time to mess something up and create a tremendous turnover that's going to have a tremendous outcome on the emotion of the game. I think emotion plays heavily into this. I know so many of the guys that have never been on a sideline before love to talk about no emotion. I think that's BS.
Where did it come from? Why did the rugby style thing take hold, especially in my conference that I broadcast?
Because there was probably a guy in college who was a rugby player in Australia or in Europe, and he ended up being in college trying to go play football as a punter, and he ran around one time and it gave somebody an idea is what I'm guessing that origin story is.
Okay, I got a better question.
All right.
Why do NFL teams use up one of their vital, coveted roster spots on a long snapper? Why aren't other guys able to long snap? They've had football in their lives their entire life. Somebody had to do long snapping in high school. Somebody had to do it in college.
Also, I think that if you can't execute it properly, it's going to throw off your returner. It's less likely you're going to have a return. So you have a better chance to, you know, get it inside the 20. If you are playing other positions, there's more of a likelihood you get hurt. And so if you have a specialist punter or a specialist long snapper, I'd rather have a specialist long snapper and a guy who, okay, if he gets hurt.
That's what it is. That makes sense.
Like if Rex gets hurt, all right, you know, Wyatt did it in high school. You know, that type of thing.
You know what I would like? I would like it if.
I don't know if Wyatt did it in high school.
I would like an emergency long snapper that has to be your head coach. Your head coach has to go out there and do the long snapping.
Are you insane?
I think that would be fun.
Why would that
at
be
at least
fun?
Your special teams coordinator.
Like in hockey, okay, fine. You got one of them, but it might be Mike Vrabel would be the best probably, so I'm sure he could do it. What I'm saying is that in hockey, they just have a local guy in every city that goes out there and acts as the emergency goalie. So, come on, Kevin. Let's see what you can do. You're riding these guys all
that's
game.
That's nuts.
It's nuts.
You want Andy Reid to take his old heavy self out there?
Well, it's time for him to retire. As the biggest Chiefs fan that you've ever met.
Then he has to go.
If Pete Carroll is nuts, you don't want to send 74-year-old men out there.
Fine. Bill Belichick, you can have great-granddaughter.
My God.
Go have Jordan. Go out there and teach her how to do it.
That is not a good idea.
She can go out there in her balloons and her bows. Never snap that football.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.